Welcome back to 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We're joined with Andrew McCreath, CEO, CIO, Forge First Asset Management. Andrew's a reoccurring guest. We work closely together in the portfolio for our clients, so I wanted to put that as a bit of a disclaimer. We really value Andrew's work, input, research. We've been talking a lot on and off the air together, Andrew, about this, the R word that's coming out is the word recession. And let me paint the picture for you, Andrew. Throughout all of this week, we've been hearing the flattening of the yield curve, an inverted yield curve. And generally speaking, what we hear about is when the two-year U.S. government treasury is higher interest than the 10-year. That's an inverted yield curve is what we've been hearing about. Media has been splashing it. Social media has been talking about this R word. We're going to a recession. That's it. It's over. When we look at this, what are your thoughts first with that? Are we headed towards a recession? And what are your thoughts about this whole inverted yield curve thesis that's out there?
Great question, Faisal. And I would start by saying that history rhymes, but it doesn't repeat. What do I mean? Well, in the past, an inverted yield curve has been a very good predictor of a recession. However, this go around, the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States, and even here at the Bank of Canada, our central bank, has delivered a significant degree of intervention in the bond market so as to cause the yield offered by bonds, hence the price of bonds, to not be running by nature by itself. They've effectively been fixing the pricing. So it's difficult to extrapolate history into what's going to happen today by itself, that an inverted yield curve means that we are going to have a recession.
Sorry, Andrew, let me just jump in there. Are we saying that because there's so much interference or usage by central banks that we cannot really identify this inverted yield curve equals recession like we have in the past when the central banks haven't been as involved in buying the bonds and somewhat manipulating the prices?
100%. It's not black and white that we will have a recession because that indicator, the inverted yield curve, has in the past indicated that we are going to have a recession. The intervention by central banks has muddied the water, shall we say. Something else that's very different from past recessions is, you know, look at the employment market in the United States. You know, Friday morning, we had U.S. jobs data. And, you know, not only was the wage data good, not only were the number of new jobs added good, especially when you look at the revisions of previous months, the unemployment rate fell to a very, very low level, 3.5%. And so the job market is very strong. We historically have not had such strong job markets moving into a recession. Why? Well, because think about it. The consumer is about 69% of the U.S. economy. And if the jobs market is really tight, then people have jobs, they have money to spend, and we're not going to go into a recession. At the same point in time, when one looks at the industrial side of the U.S. economy, also Friday morning, you had ISM manufacturing, the data was lousy. Why was the data lousy? Well, there's a few reasons. First off, on the manufacturing side, consumers in North America have been spending money for the last 2 years on durable goods. You know, there's only so many TVs and cars and stuff like that you can buy. I'd say the durable goods market is beginning to run out of steam. Secondly, supply chain. You know, we continued to have supply chain problems 3 months ago. I know that in the monthly commentaries that I write once a month and are posted on our website, forgefirst.com, that I opined a couple of months ago that the supply chain problems are going to take us right into 23. They're not getting solved during 22. I still stick with that, but now I'll sort of, shall we say, I stick with it cubed, if you will, because of the war. You know, the war is aggravating supply chains. The third item has to do with commodity prices. Obviously, commodity prices are high and they're going to stay high. But it's only in the 1970s did we last see rising commodity prices that were driven by the supply side versus the demand side. What I mean is that prices are not high because demand is so high. Prices are high because there's no supply. And, you know, we're reading more and more about how, you know what, President Biden wants oil companies to drill more oil in the United States. But the simple fact of the matter is the oil companies don't have the workers. Or if you want to frack a well, there's not the sand availability. Why? Because the sand companies went bankrupt over the last couple of years. So monetary policy, changing interest rates or printing more money, can change the demand side of economy, but it can't help the supply side of the economy. So if I put those three variables together, as we move forward here, there is definitely a risk that we move into a recession. Why? Because the consumer is running out of gas, shall we say, no pun intended. You know, the savings rate is back to pre-COVID levels. Of course, inflation is far higher than wage increases. And so in the back half of this year, while they've got a job and so they can pay their mortgage, they're running out of juice. And given that they're the big driver of the U.S. economy, if they run out of juice, we could fall into a recession. And then with, you know, being a little more brief with this second variable, recession, the industrial side is definitely weakening. And here at Forge First, our analysis causes us to believe we're going to continue to see a fairly rapid reduction on the industrial side of the economy, which again could, shall we say, increase the risk of a recession. But you could argue, Faisal, that a recession is the best thing for financial markets because the Fed may pivot and stop raising interest rates.
If you were to give a probability that we are heading into a recession over the next 12 months, I've seen some reports out there calling it between 25 and 33% probability of it happening. Where do you sit on the probability of a recession in the next 12 months?
40%.
40%. And so given that you see a 40% probability of a recession, What are the areas of opportunity in the, let's talk about the stock market right now. Where do you see the areas of opportunity with that? And where do you see the biggest hits? You talked about industrial and industrial goods. That would probably be a decline or a reduction in earnings per share on that area. But are there places that you say this is, no matter what, these places are going to look good overall?
Good question. We believe there is a little more upside in resource stocks, but we are now late enough in that trade where you can't buy them and go away for a few months. Because, of course, if we are moving into a recession, notwithstanding my supply versus demand driven argument for pricing, especially if you throw in, excuse me, a resolution of the war, commodity stocks could get smoked. But for now, we believe there's a little more juice in the trade, if you will. Secondly, we believe that high quality growth stocks, we're talking the Microsofts and Googles of this world, remain attractive because they are not egregiously valued and they are arguably recession resistant. And consequently, we continue to own those stocks. However, I would add that given our outlook for markets, we continue to use put options to protect those positions because for us, our job is to deliver a competitive net return and to try and protect capital when markets get rougher.
And this is why we get along so well, Andrew. Sorry, this is why we get along so well is because we look at profit and protect. We've got about 20 seconds left before we have to get going. Give us your final thoughts.
So the final thought is the following. If I say there's a 40% chance of a recession, I'd say there's also a 40% chance of inflation getting out of control, meaning that the central bank would be really behind the curve and they would have to accelerate the rate of reduction of liquidity and increase interest rates even faster. And that is the nastiest scenario of all, and long-only investors in bonds or stocks would be vulnerable to a very, very nasty outcome. And that's why I said, Faisal, that perhaps the recession is the best realistic scenario for investors.
Well, there you go. We've been joined by Andrew McCreath, CEO, CIO, Forge First Asset Management. Andrew, thank you for joining us today.
Been a pleasure, Faisal. Thank you.
We're going to be talking about these types of issues, profit and protect, bulletproofing your retirement at our upcoming seminar on April 26, 7 p.m., live in person and online. We're going to be doing this at the Carriage House Inn. You need to register for this. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to talk about how do you recession-proof your portfolio with everything that's going on. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.